Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Welcome to Hope for Today. We are so glad that you joined us. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. Each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts circle the globe in English and 22 other major languages. And why do we teach from the Bible? Because the Bible is the only source of lasting hope. It is God's Word. You know, as well as I do, that we can't rely on the words of men, because men change. Think of all the unkept promises people make. Maybe even specific promises to you, personally. But God is unchanging. He keeps His promises. The psalmist David said in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." You and I can depend on God's word. Because God's word is unchanging and reliable, we share this teaching with many people around the world. And we receive many testimonies of lives that have been transformed by the power of the gospel. We have been studying from the book of John, and today we will be starting chapter 16. Today's title is Think Right, and we pray you will be blessed by our time together, and may our look into His word help our thoughts line up with His thoughts. Thanks for joining us for another look into God's word. We are honored to be here and so happy you are there. Let's look at John 16 for advice on how to think right. So many of our actions are a result of how we think. Have you ever thought about what makes you think the way you think? This requires introspection. You need to look within yourself. This can be hard, but it usually is very worthwhile. There is a story from the building of the Panama Canal which illustrates the importance of thinking right. The French began construction of the Panama Canal during the late 1800s. The work was strenuous and hard, but the challenges were far more than construction and engineering. The deadly diseases of yellow fever and malaria were taking a toll on the French work crews. So, the French built hospitals to fight these diseases. Unfortunately, the hospitals were largely ineffective because they were not thinking right. Around 75% of those hospitalized died. The hospitals did not have screens in the windows, and the people were divided by nationality, not type of disease. They even went so far as to put water dishes under the posts of each bed, so ants could not crawl on the patients. They did not know yellow fever and malaria were being spread by mosquitoes. Instead of closing off rooms, mosquitoes could fly in and out and go from one space to the next. Even worse were the bowls of water under each bed. This gave the mosquitoes many places to lay their eggs and fill the hospitals with more mosquitoes. If only they would have known. If only they would have corrected their thinking, then the lives of many workers would have been spared. As it was, the French were defeated and left before the canal was completed. The Americans came a few years later and faced the same challenges. However, William Crawford Gorges came and fought the diseases by going after the common mosquito. With time and lots of effort, the results proved he was right. There was a major shift in everyone's thinking, and the effect of yellow fever and malaria was minimized. In this example, you can see the importance of thinking right. The French did not understand the cause of yellow fever and how it is spread. They were destined to failure unless their thinking would change. In the same way, we want our thinking to be in line with what actually is. We want our thinking to be true. Thankfully, Jesus said He is the truth. Let's listen to Bible teacher J. Mark as he teaches us more about right thinking.
Isn't it wonderful that God has made us so that we can think? Oh, how thankful I am that we are not like the animals. They have only one way they can do things. They are programmed by nature to do certain things at certain times, and they cannot change that by thinking. But God has given us, as human beings, the privilege and the ability to think, and He has never violated that privilege or ability. Therefore, it becomes a high privilege for us to be able to think. I should add, our thinking may well be like God's thinking, and you know it can be as we learn to think God's thoughts after Him. The Bible tells us that God made us in His image and after His likeness, and that includes the ability to think and the power to choose. So then for us, there is a right way to think and there is a wrong way to think. Since God has given us this ability, He surely wants us to think right, that is, to think in the proper way. Jesus was concerned about His disciples and about us and about the way we think, and this concern is expressed as He spoke to them in John chapter 16 and verses 1 to 6. Listen, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time comes that whoever kills you will think that he does God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor have they known me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because I was present with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you is asking me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart." From these words of Jesus to His disciples, we should find two directives for how we ought to think. There are several aspects of this first directive of preparation. He said, "I have spoken these things unto you that you should not be offended." To think right, we need the preparation against offenses. What do I mean by that? Well, to be offended means to be shocked or to be scandalized, to be greatly distressed, to be troubled or worried or hurt. But to know beforehand what is going to happen will be a great help to you when that time comes. So Jesus gave these words to the disciples and to us to prepare us so that we would not be shocked when suffering comes and we would be able to understand better. And then there is also preparation against mistreatment. Because He said they will separate you, they will put you out of their worship places, out of their synagogues, and in fact they will think that when they kill you, they are doing something special for God. I have learned through my study of religion that religion is a powerful force. And that's why it's so important, my friend, for you to be sure that you are in the right kind of religion. Because Jesus said it could even get to the place that when people kill you, they will think they are doing service for God. Now that would be a seriously distorted conclusion, wouldn't it? And then He said we also need preparation against partial knowledge. When He was commenting about these people who would think they were doing God's service when they killed Christ followers, He said to them, "They do that because they do not know the Father, and they do not know me." That means they only have partial knowledge. They don't have enough knowledge. They just have a little. And a little knowledge can be dangerous. Jesus said these people don't know the Father because the Father would not tell them to take life. So, to think right, we must take seriously this matter of preparation so we know what is coming and we will not be shocked, but we will be able to understand clearly. And then we get very close to the heart of Jesus as we consider the directive of consolation. Jesus said to the disciples that He was telling them these things beforehand so that they could remember them later after He was gone. They were to remember Jesus' words, and they were to think of the good things that had happened. He said, "I couldn't tell you this in the beginning because I was present with you. But now, since I'm going away, I'm telling you these things so that when I'm gone, you will be able to remember them. They could not remember what they had not known. That's just not possible. All of us in life have memories, and I'm sure that you have memories too, and some of them are probably precious. We like to remember good things in life, special things. These words from Jesus to his followers would surely be good things to remember. It would bring consolation to their hearts as they remembered the words of Jesus, their master. In addition, there is a consolation in separation, because Jesus said, "I am going away. I'm going to the one who sent me, and I want this to be a consolation to you." Many of you ask me, "Where are you going?" So it would seem to me that there would be consolation in separation if you knew where Jesus was going. That's why he was telling the disciples that he was going back to the one who had sent him. They also had Jesus' consolation in sorrow, because he said, "Sorrow has filled your hearts, because I have told you these things." Try to imagine with me how the disciples must have felt when all of this was going on. It must have been a real consolation to them to know that they could have the words of Jesus to think about long after he had left them. And so Jesus told them that the sorrow that they would experience would only be for a little while, and they would then be able to rejoice and be glad because of what he had left for them. So to think right, read this consolation from Jesus. I believe that thinking right is surely connected with Jesus and our relationship to him. His words give us helpful guidance. We should be prepared so we will not be shocked when these experiences of suffering come. And we can be consoled because we can remember the words that he left for us. But how we relate to him, that is the key. How we relate to him is the key on how to think right.
My friend, was this teaching helpful? If you'd like a copy, either in print or a digital file, just contact us and ask for it by title, or log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org. The quickest way for you to connect with us is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or a digital file of this teaching. We'd be happy to send one to you. And when you contact us, you can request our Bible study guide, Hope Herald. It follows these radio programs and will help you learn more about what we're studying from John's Gospel. So ask for your free copy of the Hope Herald today. Here's the contact information one more time. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching. It's available in print or a digital file, and you can also request a free copy of our newest publication, The Hope Herald. It will help you gain more value from our study in John. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, heraldsofhope.org. Here's the contact information one more time. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Now, I urge you to tune in next week as Pastor J. Mark continues our study from John's Gospel. You won't want to miss it. And until then, keep looking to Jesus. He's our hope for today and for every day.